Benvinguts, em dic Jesús Ruiz, viatjo con Rick Steves. That was Catalan, and in English it would be, my name is Jesús Ruiz, welcome, and I travel with Rick Steves. Once again, em dic Jesús Ruiz, viatjo con Rick Steves, benvinguts.
Touch one of the bricks on the church you're standing in front of in Gdansk, and you're making contact with 700 years of Polish history. Add in visits to artsy Krakow and the surprisingly swanky capital, Warsaw. Sprinkle in some smaller town countryside stops as well, and you'll get to experience how much Poland has come alive in the past generation. The dreary days of the communist 20th century are well behind them now. For an update on what it's like to visit Poland today and what you should plan on seeing, we're delighted to be joined now by Polish tour guides Tomasz Klimek and Agnes Siroka.
How wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
I'm just actually thrilled to have two of my favorite Polish guides right here at this table, and we get to share your expertise about your beautiful country. So basically, how do Americans need to update their expectations of Poland, including me, Agnes?
You know, because some of our tour members still have the vision of wild bears walking down the streets, grey communist comic condos along the street, and then when I come and see beautifully developed country and beautiful landscapes, history and tremendous food, they say it's the biggest not Polish and Polish diamond.
Yeah, I mean, I went, of course, I've got a Cold War heritage, and I really was excited to go to Warsaw during communist times because it was an adventure. But I went back, I've seen this transition in the last generation. And I remember I took a photograph, it was in Krakow, of a fountain, and the kids were jumping in the fountain. It was a modern fountain, modern kids, modern life. And I thought, it's important for me to update my image of places we used to think were Eastern Europe. Tomasz, we've just changed the name in our lexicon here from Eastern to Central. What is your thoughts about, because most Americans say, oh, you're from Poland, you're in Eastern Europe.
And we want to thank you for that, because Central Europe kind of brings us more close to the truth, actually, not only geographically, but also psychologically, because when you think Eastern Europe, it puts you back to this like Soviet bloc, okay?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Because Eastern really was created by the Iron Curtain and the wall. So
yes,
it was Western free and Eastern communist.
So it's good for us to be back in Central Europe, because this is where we were for centuries.
There is an Eastern Europe. What would that be?
Eastern Europe would be everything east of Poland. So our border, it's not only the border with Belarus, with Ukraine, with Russia, but it's also the NATO.
You have some interesting neighbors.
Oh, yes. It's also NATO border,
you're on the right side of the NATO border.
European Union border as
European
well.
European Union border.
So it's a very important border, and this border would also mark the east. So.
Okay.
Czech mathematics. What? We are very close to the mathematical central part of European continent.
Okay, because the European continent goes all the way to the Ural Mountains.
Yeah.
So that, like, the western third of Russia is geographically Europe, right?
Exactly.
Agnes, I love how you both earn your living as tour guides in Poland, and you like to say that you make your living traveling in your country and teaching it as if the bus is a rolling classroom.
Exactly.
What is that? How does that bring you joy to have people on the bus and you're the teacher?
I'm the teacher. That's a rolling classroom. I love my tour members to touch a medieval brick wall, and I take them back to medieval building side of the cathedral, of the biggest brick church and the biggest brick castle in the world that they see. And when they touch, when they hear the story of clay and why the Vistula River was the main transportation route in medieval age times, it broadens their perspective. They open their eyes and they feel the story.
And that's gratifying as a teacher, isn't it?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
We just were there with your help and with Tomasz's help making a TV show on Poland. And we've got a 1-hour special that'll be airing all over the country on public television. And we wrote this script, and it starts in Krakow, it goes to Warsaw, and then it goes to Gdansk.
Exactly.
And I always have to think Gdansk or Danzig. That means I'm kind of old because Danzig was the German name for Gdansk. Right?
Exactly. That was Freistadt Danzig. But still, when you fly on many European airports, instead of Gdansk, which is so difficult to pronounce, you still have Danzig. And it's still Danzig. Somewhere in mentality as well.
Oh, okay. So I'm okay once in a while to trip on that.
Well, yeah, we're okay with that.
But what I was doing was when I finally wrote that script for a one-hour show, it occurred to me it's all along the Vistula River. Tomasz, it seems like the Vistula must be very central to the Polish people. Or what does the Vistula River mean to Poland?
So Vistula River, we actually call it the queen of our rivers, as river in Polish is feminine. So it's the river that is all within Polish borders. Uh-huh. All of the most important cities are located by the river, which was, of course, as Agnes just said, a very important transportation route. Both in summertime, but also if you think of those heavy winters, yes, this was the only part that was like frozen and on slates, somehow you can still continue on traveling. So all year round, it would provide you with some decent transport possibilities.
And it was, in some ways, I would imagine, kind of like the nipple of Poland to the rest of the world, because you have
a connection, definitely.
Gdansk, and that was a Hanseatic town. And all of the nutrition to help the vitality of Poland, much of it must have come by boat in the old days to Gdansk.
Yes, we were like a basket of Europe, as very often Poland was referred to, because
the granary of Europe.
The granary of Europe. Our guides to Poland are Agnes Siroka from the lively port city of Gdansk and Tomasz Klimek, who lives in Krakow, the country's cultural and historic capital. You can also look for them joining me on my latest public TV special about Poland. Gdansk was part of the Hanseatic League.
Exactly.
And in the Middle Ages, before you had centralized governments and big free trade zones that are countries, you had merchant cities.
Yeah, I always like to refer it to Gdansk because, you know, that was the European Union before it was officially organized.
There you go, spreading from London all the way to St. Petersburg.
Exactly, that's why when people come and see the architecture, they have a feeling, I've been there before.
Amsterdam, Lübeck, Berlin.
Name it.
I love it, and this is the joy of traveling with a little higher expectations. For a lot of people, Hanseatic League, their eyes glaze over, you know, but a good tour guide can make the Hanseatic League fun to know about. Tell about the big crane in Gdansk.
You know, because of being the port of the Kingdom of Poland, the city was very rich.
Yeah.
So what was the way to show you're really well off? Build the buildings no other city can afford to have. That's why we ended up with the biggest brick constructions in the world, including the crane, like huge hamster wheels.
You would have literally
people inside
human hamsters walking on this treadmill, going around and around to load and offload goods from the boats.
Exactly. And imagine no electricity, 14th century, and 3 tons of goods powered by men.
That is
still standing.
Still standing. That's massive technology from 600-700 years ago. My goodness, there's so much history in this country. You've got the rich history from the Middle Ages, and you got these great medieval buildings and massive castles. You've also got a very complicated and difficult 20th century in Poland. And you have a difficult history, period. I mean, the Polish people, how many millions of people are in Poland now, roughly?
It's 38 million Poland and around 20 million outside of Poland.
So lots of diaspora.
And the size of New Mexico.
Okay, there you go. And you can look at this size of New Mexico, 30 million people, and you think you're between Germany and Russia. And when Germany wants to push east, or if Russia wants to push west,
we are in the middle.
Polish people pack up and walk hundreds of miles that way or that way, and they are like, their whole life is refugee city.
That
was for a century, there was no Poland on the map.
That was, this is not the very fortunate location between the two giants. So, yes.
But thank goodness you've got firm borders now.
Firm borders. This is like the most peaceful period in the history of Poland ever right now.
That's
amazing. If you look at it.
And you're close to the Ukraine war. It must be a little bit nerve-wracking.
That's why we did so much help, and that's why thank you for supporting all the projects.
Well, let's just say any American who was able to travel in Europe and go to Poland and then to understand how Poland prizes and treasures its history, its freedom, I mean, its freedom, and how the history has been such a struggle, And it's a whim politically on our part, whether we are part of the NATO or not, and whether we support freedom or not in Europe. And for me, it's a human question. It's a what is just. And there is such a fragile and beautiful and appreciated freedom all over our Western world. And this is an issue of today. And I just love the fact that our travelers can go to Poland. People can be inspired by our books or our TV shows or whatever, and go to Poland and find guides like you to help them appreciate that.
When you have that history, you know, it's coming to Gdańsk and hearing about Lech Wałęsa and Solidarity, 1980. But now you come when we have war behind the border and we've accepted millions of refugees into our houses. That's the real solidarity movement currently in 21st century.
There you go. Solidarity. It was in Poland where Lech Wałęsa and the Union of Shipworkers stood up bravely, courageously, and cracked the invincibility of the Soviet Union. And from that came freedom for 100 million people in Central Europe.
Exactly.
And today, with all the refugees from Ukraine, from that tragedy there, coming from Russia, they end up heading west, and in solidarity, the people of Poland house them. I went to great churches all along the countries that are neighboring the conflicts further east, and the churches are filled with donated goods that are going to refugees, and people are housing refugees. And it's a solidarity thing, isn't it?
Exactly.
It's inspirational. It is
the
inspirational.
Solidarity flows in our veins, sort of, in a different form nowadays, but it still does.
Solidarity flows in your veins, and I want to be part of that.
You are.
Well, everybody can be part of that.
Everybody can be part of that.
And support local economy. You support the fight with Ukraine.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We are talking about Poland now with our two Polish guides, Agnes Siroka and Tomasz Klimek. So I was marveling at how complicated and many faceted the history of Poland is. Of course, Krakow was the historic capital, I think, of the Polish people.
That's correct.
Warsaw is the modern capital.
Mm-hmm.
Gdansk is a place where so much history has happened.
It's the capital of freedom.
Three huge things have happened almost within sight of each other over history. What are the big historical landmarks from Gdansk?
So if you think of the more recent history, the first shots of the Second World War took place exactly in Gdansk, in the small peninsula of Westerplatte, where early morning on the 1st of September 1939, first shots started the Second World War. And another landmark moment was 1989, when the Solidarity Movement smashed the communism and this first domino fell. Always when we think of fall of the communism, people will think of fall of the Berlin Wall, but actually Berlin Wall fell a few months after, and first domino was Poland.
Then
the other countries would follow.
And you've got history going much, much earlier than that, great astronomers, Polish.
Nicholas Copernicus, born in Toruń. Our gingerbread capital.
I was just having some gingerbread last night, and it took me back to Toruń.
Exactly, Nicholas Copernicus.
So let's talk about, you know, we've talked about Krakow and Warsaw and Gdansk. Let's talk about some of the smaller places we can see, not always on the Vistula River, but most likely on the Vistula.
Of course, Toruń.
T-O-R-U-N.
Toruń used to be the seaport as much as Gdansk in medieval age times, also Hanseatic City.
Yeah.
On the UNESCO heritage list, like Krakow.
Yeah,
you know,
and when you go there, you've got you can sit on a statue of Copernicus and have some gingerbread.
Have gingerbread, have great ice cream, and people watching. You know, Nicholas Copernicus is a very good Polish product.
Yeah, for sure. And just a half-hour drive from there or something is the biggest pile of bricks I've ever seen.
Oh, that's my place on earth, you know.
Tell me
that's my passion. I collect medieval handmade bricks and I promote medieval bricks all over the world.
Whoa, I've never met a brick enthusiast like this. Yeah. Well, you know, we have to remember the architecture we look at in our travels is determined by what is available in the natural resources in that region. So if there's good marble nearby, you might have marble. If there's granite, you'll have granite. If there's wood, you'll have wood. And if there's not much else,
you have clay, so you build, you make bricks.
But tell us about that castle.
Malbork Castle is the biggest brick castle in the world. And it's amazing because it took 30 million bricks to build it. And that was the capital of the Teutonic headquarter. Like, you know, we've heard
Teutonic,
about...
The Teutonic Knights.
Like Templars,
that
Crusaders.
That was their brick house.
That was their brick house. And it's an amazing. It's on the UNESCO heritage list. And
you stand there and you can see the moat. It wouldn't have alligators and water in it, but there's a land area that is wide open, so people who are attacking can be seen from a distance.
Exactly. It's flat like a table, and you can see everybody coming.
And then this wall of bricks. It's just magnificent. And who were the Teutonic Knights, Tomasz?
So Teutonic Knights were some of the Templars. So when you think of the Holy Land, this is where they were protecting the pilgrims, protecting Holy Land. At a certain point, they had to go. They returned to Europe, being bored, sort of looking for some ideas.
Oh, so this is a kind of a military protect the pilgrims order. And when they didn't have much to do, they found, hey, we could kind of settle in here. And they had all of this power.
And we can offer our services, whoever needs. So we actually invited them because we had some slight problems, but they liked it so much that they stayed for nearly 300 years.
So we can see that castle in Malbork. M-A-L-B-O-R-G.
Exactly.
Now, we've talked about the three great cities. We've talked about Torun and Malbork. I'd like to talk about beaches on the Baltics, and I'd like to talk about the Carpathian Mountains. Let's talk about the mountains first, because when I went to Poland in communist times, that's when people couldn't travel very far, and it was communist, so everybody had the same camera, everybody had the same vacation, and everybody would go to the same place, and they would just say, okay, in July you go, in August you go, in September you go. That's my sense. Everybody went to Zakopane.
Zakopane is still beautiful. Zakopane is like a capital of the mountains, but it's more than Zakopane in the mountains. Yeah. There's a very rich culture. There's a, not to mention the landscape, the food, and the culture that remained there practically intact. People wearing their traditional dresses, not maybe on every day, but let's say every Sunday for all the family occasions. And this is not real. This is not folklore for tourism. This is alive.
This is natural.
Culture, this is natural. This is honest. So if you want to experience something like this, mountains is a must.
There's a northern area of Romania that's just along the border. What is that?
It is the same mountains, actually. Because the Carpathian Range passes through Slovakia, Ukraine, goes all the way to Romania.
And life there is like an open-air folk museum also.
Exactly.
So the Zakopane is where you find some very strong traditions.
Still real.
And that would be a side trip from Krakow or what?
This is like 80 miles south of Krakow, so this is...
There you go.
A 1-hour drive.
And what if I want to just sit on a cold and rainy beach and shiver?
Oh, come on. We still have a few sunny days.
Tell me about a beach resort on the Baltic. Tell me about
that. Yes, Baltic is cold, but we have beautiful sunny beaches. And after the storm, you can just walk down the beach and collect amber, the petrified resin, which is over 50 million years old. And if you are lucky, you can find an inclusion there. Like the biggest lizard that was found and is in the museum right now.
Like Jurassic Park.
Fossil of a lizard or something. Amber is a big deal.
Yes, Gdańsk is described as the world amber capital. Mm-hmm. You find it in the south of Baltic.
As a matter of fact, there's a wonderful little museum and a beautiful shops featuring amber in Gdańsk.
Amber is every corner. We have amber Ferris wheel, amber football stadium, name it, you have it. Amber altar, everything is there.
Wow. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been dreaming about Poland, and there's so many dimensions to it, and it's just such a pleasure to have both of you here sharing your love and your knowledge of your home country. Agnes Siroka and Tomasz Klimek. How do I say thank you?
Dziękuję.
Dziękuję. Dziękuję. And I hope to see you again in Poland.
Dziękujemy. Thank you for having us.
Dziękujemy.
You bet.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton, Kaz Murrah-Hall, and Donna Bardsley at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. Affiliate relations are by Sheila Gerzoff. Website uploads are by Andrew Wakeling and Sherry Court. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. When you're on a road trip, you can listen to Travel with Rick Steves on one of more than 500 other radio stations. You'll find a list of where and when at ricksteves.com/radio. And we'll look for you again next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.